really nervous for Davis, but it's still a Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show, and I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us yet again as we discuss the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC Collision Course Part 2. We're going to spoil the heck out of it, so if you haven't seen it yet, go back and watch it. And then come back and join us in the conversation. If you enjoyed this show, go to iTunes and give us that 5-star review. If you didn't enjoy the show, then listen next week. Maybe you'll enjoy next week's show even better. And go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter @BennettBrosPod. Or send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. Also, one more thing. Go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to check out some minicasts. To get those mini casts, you need to donate. To donate, that helps us out. That would be awesome. So we'd really appreciate that. That helps us out greatly, and you will forever be in our hearts like Jocko, because he's very likable. And then we'll just talk about some quick news, because we're doing this a little bit backwards today. Just any quick news. I know our director for Thor 4 has been signed on.
Taika Waititi, who did Thor 3, ooh, which Ragnarok. Is the good, that's the good news. And you know, Chris Hemsworth doing another one, so one of our main three didn't end his MCU character story arc yet,
which we didn't think he was going to.
Unfortunately, the bad news about that is Taika Waititi is now put on indefinite hold his live action Akira.
Oh, that's a bummer. Which was supposed to follow the graphic novel more than the movie, which would have been
they're making a new Akira animated series that's going to follow the graphic novel now, so I'm excited about that.
They have the music in there too. You gotta have the music. It's part of the. Oh, if you've never read Akira, find it somewhere. It's probably free online somewhere. Go read it. It's good stuff. And then,
Supergirl's gonna have pants now.
Here, Jerry thinks he's so funny, but then I go, 007 is a female, black female now, Jerry.
No, that's a plot. That's a plot point that's going to just be done.
Of course. Of course it
that's
is.
Done to,
because,
that's done to like stir things up.
Here's the thing, right? If James Bond if they're going to change the character to 007, change the character altogether, they can't call the movie just James Bond anymore. They have to call the movie 007.
Exactly.
So it's not, yes.
Her name is Jamie Bond.
Jamie Bond. Oh, nice. Yeah. James Bond Jr.
So Frank Grillo has revealed that he's got 5 more movies in his Marvel contract. Frank Grillo played Rumeloff, the Crossbones, in the, basically... Oh. Two movies so far.
How does he have more contracts?
3 movies. When they sign those contracts.
I know, but like.
They sign him. He's like, we want to use you for 7 movies.
So he's.
Well, they already were able to do that. In other words, he's already been in 2 Captain America movies. Mm-hmm. And then Avengers Endgame, they're like, called him back. Like, hey, remember that contract? We need to come back for a day's shooting or 2 days shooting. And like.
I'm sure it was more than 2 days, but. Because he was in a lot of the scenes. But interesting that. What else could they use him for? I mean, he could be in a Loki movie. The Loki TV show?
But that, just because he's
is that a movie or is that a contract for...
He signed for 5 more films is what he
films,
said.
Films, so not even the Disney FX.
He said moviolas, if you want to get specifically. You know, a cranker. So that, if we're going to break down to film versus movies...
He signed
movies,
up to an Edison.
Yes. Oh, what else do you have? Are you looking at stuff? I'm just moving my finger back and down just to mess with you. Here's an interesting... The other part that I wanted to talk about was an article that actually is up on our Facebook page, which was fascinating. You read this article, right?
I did.
Okay,
did.
Basically there's an article called The Tangled Webs of Spider-Man's Rights. It's actually a YouTube video, and I was fascinated by this, and what this boils down to is how the Spider-Man rights work. This guy did super amount of research. Again, nothing's 100%. He acknowledges the fact that he's going by as educated as he could, but he did... have a lot of really key
using the
moments.
Sony hack, using some release documents,
and it boils down to because of how Marvel has the rights to do Spider-Man movies. Now, the one thing that actually seems like it's everywhere now is the fact that Marvel has a deal right now with Spider-Man Far From Home that if that movie doesn't make $1 billion, that Sony gets to take it back. And if it makes over $1 billion, that means that they can still
they
keep
get
doing
to take it.
It
back and put it into their Spider-Man. They get
no,
to take...
they don't. Well. They no, get to they take... get to make Spider-Man. They don't get to take to put this Spider-Man into their Venom universe, and that's another part about this.
I thought they get to put
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what his contract is. Nobody knows what his contract is. It could be, but what it boils down to was there's first off, I thought one thing was fascinating. There's a reason that they had to make the Venom movie, because making these Spider-Man in the Marvel universe movies don't count as Sony Films. So if Sony doesn't make a quote-unquote Spider-Man movie within a certain time frame, 5 years, 7 years, whatever that is, then the rights go back to Marvel. Go to Disney. And that's key right there, because then, so that's why there's a Morbius, the Living Vampire movie in production right now, because they're making Spider-Man. Spider-Man's been in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies in the last 5 years, and none of those count towards Sony making one. So they're like, we have to make a Venom movie. We have to make a more, you know, these movies and keep our Spider-Man license as long as we can.
And on top of that, I've mentioned numerous times, I'm like, when are they going to bring Venom into the MCU? They're not.
No, that's why not. If you go back to those interviews with Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal, she kept like trying to, she was dancing around it. Like it's kind of in the universe. Translation. In fact, if you watch that interview and they showed it there, there's a point where she says something and Kevin Feige actually moves forward like he's going to say something like, well, and then he doesn't. He pulls it in. But his initial reaction was, she's lying. Oh, shit, I can't say that.
Like,
you know?
It's. Yeah, I also found the point interesting that they have to change the characters enough. So they're not their comic book characters. So why MJ is MJ and not Mary Jane is because...
Ned Leeds is who he is. And
they need
all
to keep
those,
the rights to it.
Yeah,
Sony wants to keep the rights to Mary Jane. So when they're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they have a character called MJ.
Obviously, that doesn't count for the actual character of Peter Parker. Or you're going to have an Aunt May. But you know, not that version of Aunt May. Go back to the old spindly, I'm 92, you know.
Forever.
So it was fascinating how he got to, and how much, I should go back and look to see if anything has been added to it. It's just an interesting.
It's very interesting.
How this all works, because obviously the end goal for Disney is to get it back the way they bought, you know, Fox to get everything back. And Sony's end goal is to never give this away. So how will it play out? I don't know, but I totally recommend reading that article. It was fascinating.
I like the idea that Sony wanted they could actually put Spider-Man into the Venom universe, but it's like then they have two Spider-Mans, and it'd be terrible for Sony to be like,
and are
a
they are they,
a
are
reboot?
They, are they
Spider-Man.
Are they floating around the idea of a Miles Morales because of the Spider-Verse movie being so successful, and do they go that route?
Well, so I mean, it confused me. I thought Venom could possibly be part of the MCU. It won't be. It's a completely different universe.
And there's also reasons why they probably have, obviously they have worked out, because they go through every single character way back in the day and said who could be used, what, where. And so Marvel's going, listen, you ain't going to do the Vulture. We're keeping the Vulture. You ain't going to do Scorpion.
But it's not going to be, it's not going to be the Vulture that's the old guy in the costume.
Yes, you can do that version of it. You know, will we not see Doc Ock? Will they save Doc Ock for Sony? Will the whole Green Goblin thing be what the Green Goblin thing is? Are we going to see
Carnage?
Kraven the Hunter, which there's real speculation towards that being the next Spider-Man Home Forever movie, whatever it's going to be. He's going
Home
to
Alone.
Be in that. Yeah.
I've told you this, Jerry. That's the title.
Well,
Home
he won't
Alone.
Be alone. Home Not Alone. Oh, that's even better.
No, it's that. Words.
Because he's home alone with
Spider-Man
2,
Home Alone Lost in New York.
Listen to yourself.
I am listening
to
myself.
Go in the corner and think about your thoughts. Think about your actions. So, come back here. So that's the last bit of news that I thought we'd talk about.
So we're going to talk about Collision Course Part 2. Jerry, your initial thoughts.
This was a really good episode, which got better as it kept going. I really liked it.
This episode rocked. This episode was great. Again, I don't know why they called it Collision Course Part 1, Part 2, because I feel like every episode of the season is connected to the previous episode, so it's all, this is Part 7 of the season, or Part 8.
Maybe it was because, like, when this started at the very beginning, it's right within the same driving action motion scene. We're heading towards a collision.
Well, I get that. And like I said in the previous podcast, I think this is a climax to a... something?
Oh, we've been mispronouncing it. I just realized it. It's Collusion Course.
No,
it's... So we're heading towards collusion.
No, actually, it's Coulson Course.
Oh! That's even better.
Awesome. So we're going to dive right into the episode, talk about it, see what we uncover. We're going to start this episode. This episode is all over the place to start off with, so I might miss some things here. Yes. So the Zephyr, we're on the Zephyr. Yo-Yo is going to take the Quinjet down to the rig, which is on a collision course. Like they say.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, there it is. They can't take the Zephyr down because it's too big.
And apparently there's no units in range to stop the truck.
We've talked about that. Yeah, that's going to frustrate Jerry probably.
No, I'm over it. I'm over it because it's a good episode. As I always say, you will let the little things go when it works. When it's not so good, all of the bad things, you know, pop out. And that goes with movies, books, TVs, music.
Our podcast.
Slideshows. Yeah. And when you get to something where you, like, really like it, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. But it doesn't matter because I had so much fun and everything worked. So
exactly.
Okay. Having said that, I'm going to find out.
Don't look too closely. Oh, yes. Oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed. Sarge is on the Zephyr. He tells Pax and Jocko that Snowflake couldn't make it, but he doesn't mention why she couldn't make it.
About and Jocko says, somebody says, let's go get a new spaceship. No, he said it, now that I realize that.
Yeah, he says it. Let's go get a new spaceship, because they're on the Zephyr.
Well, that means they've had spaceships before.
Yeah, well, they've been in space before.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Back on the rig, Snowflake tells them that the bomb that's on the ship is actually an atomic bomb. Now Jerry will explain the workings of an atomic bomb. Go.
When two hydrogens meet an atom and they like each other, they give a special kind of hug. And it's explosive. I don't know. What do we mean? Get out of here.
You went with it. That was very appreciative. I love Quake's face in this moment when they're trying to convince Deke to disarm the bomb. And Deke interrupts her and he's like, if someone can do it, Deke Shaw can do it. And then she like looks at him like, are you just talking to the third person? It's a great face. It made me laugh.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, there was some good Quake moments in this episode. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Back on the Zephyr, Agent Diaz, who has been in a couple episodes this season already, she gets shot. She gets shot right in the shoulder, right in the clavicle. That's the technical term for it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I don't know. A clavicle, isn't that like a cavity? I don't know what that is. She gets shot in the mouth.
right in the clavicle. And then they put up a containment field because Yo-Yo is off going to prep the Quinjet, which actually comes into play later about her prepping the Quinjet. It's ready to go. Yo-Yo's not there, so they decide to put up a containment field to keep out Yo-Yo.
Yes, a shield, if you will, is raised.
But it's red, so it's evil.
Yeah. Also, going back just a second, because we were last out Fitz and Simmons, as they were in the... as we last saw Fitz and Simmons when they were in the new spaceship, as we'll call it from here forward until this last sentence.
Or it's just the spaceship.
Yes. They did say that they've been at the communication for hours. So I like that because that's another line of dialogue. Like, what have they been doing that they haven't noticed the crew?
There's a couple of moments.
The crew hasn't, you know, they didn't notice the crew all being turned into these things. And like, oh, they've been at it for hours. I like that. And then they see the crew. And also, Izzel confronted them and they were worried about actually.
She doesn't confront
them
yet.
No, she did. She confronts them and says that they are valuable.
Oh, yeah, she does confront them, doesn't she?
Yes.
I skipped over that scene because it really did not offer anything other than what you just mentioned. So back on the rig. Deke can't disarm the bomb, which I like. Deke's not all powerful. He can't disarm the bomb, which is great. And I like how Snowflake starts to freak out here a little bit. Such an interesting character.
Yeah, well, it is.
Right? Very interesting.
And they cover that at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get to it. But Deke is showing, I guess you could say, real love or compassion for him, which is cool because you only have so much time to build storyline and characters. But it also seems he was just with that. He was just with the executive producer of the show a couple episodes ago, and now he's here.
I'm okay with it,
but it does seem a little out of place.
We'll see where they end up going with the character, the relationship. I mean, I just like it. And I like the fact that at the end of the episode, he has hickeys all over his neck. So.
I did notice that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously a relationship
built
on lust.
Comic relief on this show.
Oh, my God,
they just made a comic relief character. It's weird.
And I'm okay with it, though. I like it. We mentioned earlier in this podcast, I didn't like when he was serious, or the episode where he was with the executive producer, it was like trying too hard. When he's a secondary character being the comic relief, I think it works significantly better than him being the main focus of an episode.
Yeah. But this, we get to a literal commercial cliffhanger there. The bomb is going to go off, and we go to a commercial, and I'm like, oh, that's
I watched
really...
this on Hulu, so I did not see any commercials, but,
it has the moment.
It has the moment. They still have the, they still plan for commercials, even though it's on Hulu.
It's always reminds me of that Simpsons, you know, the show will be right back, right now.
And then we have the rig crashing into the tower. The tower then bursts into thousands of shrikes. So that's like the way of mating? I don't know, because like, there's only a couple people there, right? In the beginning, there's only a couple people infected by shrikes. Then they make the tower, and then that it's like a nest or a... larvae of sorts, and it explodes into thousands of mosquitoes kind of thing.
Larvae?
It's multiple larvae.
Larvae. Otisville?
No, I say the word too often. Otisville? I don't know what you're talking. I have no idea what you're referencing.
What? I apologize, listeners. What? Otisville? Superman? Gene Hackman talking to Ned Beatty?
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, it's been a long time since I watched
Superman. There's nothing. Get out of here. It's a long time.
To reference that.
Just so we're clear. Somewhere over the rainbow. That's also from an old film too. But you should know that that is also from Citizen Kane. So.
Yes, there you go, Citizen Kane. Okay, and then the bomb. You know, the bomb goes off, but Quake, with her unstoppable power now, she's contained an atom bomb. She has now moved up the echelon of how powerful of a superhero she is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe by containing an atomic bomb.
It's a quick save. Not as rolling off the tongue as a sky cry, but not
that. Oh, the sky cry. She hasn't cried in a long time. That, you know what? Looking at the growth of the character over the six seasons that we've had so far, that's a pretty good growth. She used to cry in every episode. In fact, go listen to our previous podcast. We used to cry about her crying in every episode, and now she doesn't cry at all. That is a testament to a character arc.
It's so funny looking at your notes and saying, like, okay, first she was written down as Sky, and then, okay, now her name is Sheila, and then eventually Daisy, and Sheila. Then Quake. I just seem to be paying attention.
Yeah, no, totally paying attention.
She's a Sheila.
Yeah, Sky, Daisy, Quake. Now I would just refer to her as Quake.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, Daisy's okay, because that's her real name, but Quake is who she is. All right, so back on the Zephyr, Sarge is mad. He is angry that the bomb doesn't go off. Good acting.
Because he is always such a reserved character as Coulson, and he doesn't have giant, I don't want to say range because that's the wrong word, but he doesn't go out of a certain zone the way Coulson talks. He talks, you know, somebody Data on Star Trek.
Smiling to a degree.
And, and so when he does that, and he has done that before, it is, you get the impression, like, oh, great acting. It's like, great. I don't know if it's great acting. It's just different acting for him. It's like, because if you say that, then that means that his acting isn't great when he's just reading his lines cold. So.
Well, that's a valid point. So
that's an actor,
Joel. Normal acting. Just normal acting here. Not great acting, just normal acting. Back on the spaceship, Izel can also tell that
she's also mad.
She could tell the tower was destroyed. I don't know if she was mad. I thought it was more of a shocked. She was more.
Well, no, she's mad, and then she kind of comes after Fitzsimmons, like, you had something to do with this? I mean.
Okay, yeah. No, mad, yeah.
But it was different acting for her.
It was different, yeah.
Different mad acting.
I haven't seen her range yet, so this is different.
It's different mad acting. Macking.
Macking.
No, that doesn't matter. Macking. No, that's when Mac acts. No, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was funny.
All right, on the Zephyr, so Jocko and Sarge, they're on the bridge. Pax is in the back trying to set up a jump for the spaceship, but Yo-Yo takes out Pax. So Pax he's out of it right now.
I can't believe you're missing these Davis moments. Davis is getting threatened at this point. He's got a gun on him.
We'll get to Davis.
But we're talking about it right now. Every time, you know, this might be the last time you get to talk too much about Davis.
Stop it. And then we're back on the bridge where Jocko and Pax, they have some moments where they start to disagree. And then
Jocko and Sarge.
Yes. Pax. What the heck? Well, Jocko and Sarge. No, yeah. Because Pax
gets brought to the shield. He gets brought to,
yes. By Yo-Yo, which forces Jocko to put the force field down to try to rescue Pax, but Sarge shoots Pax, kills Pax right there. Boom, what'd you think?
I guess he's done.
Pax is one of those characters that he's kind of nondescript in a way that I didn't expect him to last long on this show. Like, Jocko at least has a stature. Snowflake has things. Pax is just kind of a guy.
Like, if Sarge had shot Snowflake in that scenario, you think Jocko would have been, or Jocko would have immediately gone after Sarge at that point? Because it feels like it would have been more personal in that respect. It's tough to say I think this scene would have been more, I don't know if it's powerful is the word, but if we had seen Sarge maybe even more, quote-unquote, emotional, building up, like, I'm so close, I got to get there. We saw those internal moments so that when he kills him,
it's we just talked about his acting, how angry he's
getting. I said more of that as far as, like, you know, like, the desperation of it to the point where, like, he kills him and it's more shocking versus, like, yeah, the show kills off characters that like that.
Kills off villains all the time.
Yeah, so it did not shock me at this point.
I liked it though.
Yeah, I did too.
I liked it. Back on the rig is the
also forget they have the line there. It's like it's the first time we get the established line as he says this over several times. He's like, no one slows us down. It's basically their version of whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Avengers Endgame. Don't even look like you don't know what I'm talking about. Avengers Endgame. That quote gets said like six times, and this is their version of it. It is.
Maybe. Back on the rig, it is being attacked by Shrike. So that is a thing that's going to be happening. Onto the ship where we have Fitz and Simmons. They contact the Zephyr. They're using distress code 226. And Davis is like, that's our call sign, 226. And they start bickering about this. Part of me was like, stop bickering about this. You guys are making it completely obvious.
Well, I think it's designed to be that way for our benefit.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guy, you know when characters on television and movies do something and we know they're being deceitful and then they kind of do it over the top where in reality the person would be like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
No one makes that face, but they did. And also, we have to mention that Mac now has handcuff keys.
Yes. Yes, I did not mention that.
It's important.
That is important. Story. But then now Sergeant Izel, they now get to talk. They talk over the radio. Izel says she's going to help Sarge remember his name.
His real name. What is that? What is his real name, Joel?
His real name is Captain Sarge. I don't know.
It's terrible. Well, I can get away with
it. You put me on the spot. That's all.
Well, you do that to me all the time.
Are you going to reference another movie that is 50 years old? Yeah, is Superman? No, Superman is... Is it 50 years old, almost?
Frankly, my dear Joel.
How old is Superman now? It came out in, what, 78?
Eight.
Okay, so it's 40 years old. Little, yeah.
41 years old.
Yeah.
Math. Key to the universe. Prophecy. Christopher Walken. Another quote. Did it.
Wow. All right, so...
I do like the phrase when she says, what skin is he wearing at this point? When she's conversing.
Yes, that's very important.
Because it's like, oh... It really probably, well, I shouldn't say probably, but it could be Coulson's skin. He could be an entity within Coulson's body.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get more towards the end.
And body's Sarge, got a few holes in it.
Sarge says Izel robbed him of his family, his home, and then stole his memories.
And she responds with?
She says he never had any memories to begin with.
Dun, here we go. Dun, finally getting all these answers. These are all those questions that when we were questioning Sarge at the beginning and Mac would ask him and he says, you're not ready for it. You can't accept it. Translation, I can't tell you yet. We'll reveal that four episodes from now.
When the creator comes. Who's the creator? We can't tell you the name of the creator until the creator comes.
I wish we had a list of all of the secondary character names that we had that started all the way back in season one when they would call
the
somebody.
The clairvoyant.
The clairvoyant. Translation.
Bill Paxton.
You know, they're all those extra little names. And this is like the fourth time at least.
Oh, yeah. They did that with the, who was the head of Hydra for a little bit? Well, very shortly there, who was the scientist, the Nazi scientist who was alive in World War II, and then he aged because he took...
Oh, Zola. No.
No. He took Skye's mother, but he had the doctor.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, that was another one.
Something
yeah.
like that for the longest time, and then he gets revealed. Oh, yeah, no, the show has a tendency to do that. Fitz and Simmons on the ship, like this moment here, where they get captured and they do the old switcheroo. They take the guns from their captors, and I like that they did it at the same time, too. That was a really awesome moment.
Yeah, because they've evolved as characters since season one, where they really wouldn't do that. To now,
well,
they
weren't
actually,
field agents, yes. And now they are. On the rig, we have a moment where one of the Shrike actually breaks through the windows, and May saves Deke's life.
Because he's got his mouth wide open. To catch that one. Oh, no, it's going to go in my mouth.
Ah.
And my hands won't work to pull it out.
Again,
I think we
established that once it's in your mouth, it does a toxin that you can't actually get it out of your mouth.
You can't move your hands to your mouth.
Yes.
Nice. All right. See, now you've done something, helpful. I like that. All right. It's stupid, but I like it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Jerry. Remember that.
What's going on with Jocko and Yo-Yo? Jocko, Yo-Yo. Maybe that's why they're connected. They all have O's at the end of their names.
You want to figure out it's Yayo? Is that
no, Jocko Yo-Yo. I think there's something there. Come on, what's going on?
They have a heart.
Okay.
They have a moment here. When he, I like that she puts the handcuffs on him. He's like, this? Breaks the handcuffs because he has super strength. Did you know that he had super strength?
Well, he's knocking some doors down in this series episode. So, yeah.
And then back on the bridge, Sergeant Mac have a fight. because he's not handcuffed anymore, and they have a fight, which I thought was a really good fight here. It wasn't as choreographed as, say, you know, a Daisy fight or a May fight, but this fight was rough. The punches, you could feel the punches when they punched them. Like, it's hard to, like, you know that feeling when, like, you see a hit and you're like, there it is.
Let me ask you here, so.
And then Sarge gets knocked out. Did you want to mention more about this fight? I just want to point out the fact that I liked at the end when Mac is like, told you.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Referencing that he's now in control of his ship again.
How'd the shield go down?
What shield?
The shield that when Jocko was on the other side after he shoots Pax and then Sarge raises the shield. And then they come back at the end of the scene and the shield's already down. How'd that shield
go down? Who came back? The shield could have still been up and we're not seeing it.
Because Jocko and Yo-Yo, they come into the scene at the very end.
They, I don't know.
Okay.
Diaz put the shield down?
Diaz.
Yeah, she shot in the arm, but she can still.
All right, sure.
On to the rig.
No. We now come back and we see Sarge in the pod. Don't we come right back to the Zephyr at this point?
Yes. Yes, I didn't. I skipped this whole scene because it wasn't.
Well, I'm just getting our pieces there, and he's talking, taking, you know, because that seems important because we find out in that scene that they're taking Jocko with. Yes. Jocko's like, see ya.
He wants to finish the fight. Sarge is wanting to come with. They're going to take the Quinjet that was already prepped earlier by Yo-Yo. I thought that was later. I thought they were with it. Oh, well, I mean. Yeah, and they're gonna go. It's gonna be a non-lethal whip mission. It's extraction. Don't kill anyone. So they're gonna do that.
It'd be a great name of a movie. Non-lethal weapon.
Non-lethal weapon.
I'm getting too old for this. I retire in 14 days.
Non-lethal weapon. I retired.
My pension was okay.
My partner got fired. On the rig, Quake open. She figures she's gonna open the door as a choke point. And then she uses her Quake powers. I put Quack powers down here. I don't know why I put that. She uses her Quake powers in a very cinematic scene here where she ends up destroying all the Shrike. I thought this was an awesome, awesome scene. Kind of like a little flawed. Like, she can do that. And what's the point of these creatures are not a bad thing anymore if she can just destroy thousands of them. Although we only see her destroy a couple, but she can destroy thousands of them with her Quake power.
Really okay, I agree. This was almost a really good scene. As Debbie and I both watched it, we weren't sure what was happening because we see them disintegrating. And I'm like, oh, the snap's happening. Thanos, it's finally happening. No, we see these things coming forward and disintegrating. And it's done slow motion. And I did not see Quake's powers there. She's standing there, but they didn't.
I thought it was assumed.
But. Yeah, but they normally show that wave effect coming out.
The sound effect.
And because they didn't do that at all, we both separately were like, "Did she do that? What happened there?"
Oh, interesting. We weren't sure. I did not have that issue
because, you know, she almost has a look of like confused. Because we were confused. We looked at her and thought maybe she had a confused look. It didn't have the effect from her point coming into it. They were just disintegrating.
Oh, so I didn't have that problem.
I understand it. And that's what we assumed afterwards at that, because you know what they say about assume. Always do it. And so we couldn't tell, but now, you know, I feel like they could have done that a little bit more visually.
And then Snowflake asks May, are all females on the planet that powerful? May replies, they are. She's like, and then Snowflake's like, they can all do Quake powers. And May's like, oh, I meant it figuratively, not literally. And it was a conversation. It was a weird conversation.
Girl power.
And moving on from that, no, I mean, I still like the scene a lot. I think it was cinematically, it was an awesome, awesome scene. On the ship, the team lands, and then I quickly questioned him, like, they land, they're like, where's everyone? I'm like, why doesn't Yo-Yo just use your powers to run around the ship real fast to see kind of where everything's at?
She did make a statement earlier that, my powers, I'm really good, I'm really fast. I'm still like, are you?
But that's okay. Davis is also joining him on the ship. That's important.
And he's taking point.
Yes.
Although it's important. Although, he takes point, and then not 10 seconds later, he's in the back because then they...
Well, it's important. He takes points because he's been on that ship for a long time. He knows the ship very well, which is smart, clever. I like that. But then Yo-Yo does use her powers, and to help Fitz and Simmons, who are about to be captured by Toad and Boyle, and she comes in and locks them up. And Mac comes in, and he's genuinely happy to see Turbo. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I use it. But I liked his happiness. He's so happy at this point to see him.
Now, here's the key scene here. Key scene. This is the Jocko Davis sequence where, well, go for it.
Jocko and Davis, they see Izell. They're going to go attack her. Jocko's going to go up the front. Davis is going to go up the back stairs.
Behind the cameras.
Behind the cameras. We follow Jocko.
I've written down here, Davis going to die, ? Because it's like the writing and the way we've watched these shows.
Course.
It's like he's like, oh, because as soon as he says, the Commander said we're supposed to do this. I'm like, he's going to go against Commander's. Well, he's dead.
He's dead because of that.
You can't do that.
No. So okay. So Davis goes up.
But I'm saying you can't reward that.
Jocko goes up, and Davis is there, and Izell is no longer there. So we are to assume that Izell is now in Davis, or is Davis, or something to that degree. Which sucks because, one, I like Davis a lot. The Bennett Brothers podcast on Davis.
But I think the scenes from next week may actually
Hulu doesn't do the previously or next week on, so I don't know what's going on there. So I can't base it off of that. But what I can say is it's so
Tying it into the button actually may lead also pieces to it.
It's so on the nose that I like to think. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the end.
So,
all right. The team then, we have the whole team reuniting here, where they end up going back down to...
The Quinjet.
Well,
they got to go to the Quinjet, but then they say Quinjet, we can't do it because there's a couple guys getting off of it.
Yes. So they end up using...
Portal.
The portal on Jocko's jacket, which I thought was very, very clever. So then we have our whole team reuniting on the rig.
Deke meets Bobo.
No, Bobo.
Yeah.
I want to point this out, too. When the team reunites on the ship, there's a moment when Davis and Jocko show up, and then in the background, you have Fitz say, you see a mouth go, who is that? Which is a great, I don't know if the actor chose to do that or who chose to do that. It feels like that's an actor choice. Like, he's on set and goes, I haven't met this character yet.
And they're like, and it's Davis.
They're like, yeah, nice. I haven't met this character yet. What if I just mouth to Simmons?
Also, he's a giant monster-looking guy.
What if I just mouth to Simmons? Who is this guy? And I'm like, that's perfect. That's such a clever little, so small, but makes so much sense. All right, and so they're on the rig. The team is reunited. And then Jocko is going to take the atom bomb and go back up to the ship using the portal.
He's completing the mission.
He's completing the mission, although he could probably just throw the atom. Well,
no, because he has to use his fire breath.
He has to use his fire breath.
Also, you're right. He could have.
Just thrown the atom bomb in there, done his fire breath.
And then fire breath, right through the hole. Quick, close the door!
Yeah, we didn't close it fast enough. We just exploded.
They didn't want to risk it.
Yeah. No, it's a good... So he blows up the ship, blows up everyone on it. There goes Toad and Boyle. They're gone.
Yes. And I've written down here, also now in my notes after a while, I'm like, what if Davis is Izell? I'm like, oh, now my mind was...
That's where I wrote that down. I wrote that down the minute that happened. Because it was so on the nose. But then I was looking at Reddit.
No, because when it happened, we didn't see it right then because he's just there.
But she's gone immediately.
Well, that's when at this point.
Here's the thing.
You're not alone.
Because Reddit was filled with people going, hey, wait a minute. What if Davis was as. And I'm like, really? We didn't get this? But no, it's not that on the nose not everyone got it. So Jocko, I thought it was a great arc to his story. He ends up blowing up the ship. I think it's also an awesome arc for the actor in the sense that this actor, he's played a lot of big heavies, big tough guys and all that bad guys. He actually turns out to be a good guy. He was never a bad guy. We never actually saw him murder anyone that I can remember. Obviously he wants to murder people, but he was doing it for the greater good. Unlike Snowflake, who is a psychopath. But this is, I'm actually kind of sad that his character is gone because I thought he would have been an interesting addition to the team. I thought he would have been, but I mean, Mac is obviously the big guy, but there was a moment when they're on the ship.
So do you believe this means Snowflake ain't long for the show too?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think when they were on the ship and Mac's like, we want to use non-lethal force and he shoots the guy and Mac's like, what are you doing? And then the guy stands back and was like, oh, that was a good idea. I like seeing the two of them next to each other because Mac's a big dude. Jocko is a big, the actor is a big dude. So I wish he would.
So when they're next to each other, just look like just kind of like normal 5 foot nine guys standing next to each other. There's no point of reference.
No point of reference. So that is the end of Jocko. So we lost Pax and Jocko this episode.
Paco.
Jax.
Sons of Anarchy reference. There it is.
I love you went there. I went Mortal Kombat in my head. I don't know why. All right, back at the lighthouse. So S.H.I.E.L.D. celebrates. They're all drinking some nondescript beer. I don't know what they're drinking.
There's a party going on.
I didn't see Diaz at the party. Was she at the party? Diaz was one who was shot on the plane. We've seen her a couple
episodes.
She's
still on the plane. Guys, little help.
Bullet hole here.
Little help. Somebody put that shield back up. I'm stuck.
A bunch of stuff happens here. I'm not going to get into all of it.
Quake and Mac have lots of chit-chatting.
There is a...
She talks about her... She saw ocean...
of lava.
Ocean lava. I thought, ooh, that's kind of cool. That's the planet of fire.
I think they mentioned that before, though.
Okay, so he makes the statement here about, you know, it has... This was when he talks to her, he's like talking about where she's coming from, where she's been for the last 5 years. Now, he says that phrase, and I went back and listened to this. He goes, where you've been the last 5 years. Is that referencing the 5 years or so that she's been in S.H.I.E.L.D.? I'm hoping he's referencing, like, well, that's, you know, like, after he's done all this.
No, I thought they've been out looking for...
They've been out looking in space, we are told, for 1 year. That was what we start the season off with. They've been looking for Fitz for 1 year. Now, if they're saying 5 years, then it goes into, oh, are they trying to sync it back up into Avengers Endgame timeline? Or is he referencing the 5 years?
I don't know. That's a good
although
question.
This
I'm going to have
season,
to do some research on that.
Yeah, and this is season six. But again, you can't go each season as a full year because we, you know, time doesn't, like some seasons continue right after each other. And then this season here started a year after the last season. So I don't know if that's when he goes... I wrote down, he goes, where's she been for the last 5 years? But he doesn't say it like that, and I wish I wrote the direct quote down. But that statement could be something just as simple as a throwaway statement, if like he's referencing her time in S.H.I.E.L.D., or it could be like, oh, wait a minute, how much time has gone by? I don't know. Curious.
I'm going to look into that. And if you know anything about that out there, let us know.
So May and Yo-Yo.
Yeah, I didn't write anything down for them either.
Well, she said she should have killed Sarge right at the beginning. Yeah. You know, that's which... It's foreshadowing. It's helping us get to the button moment.
Okay, good. I skipped all this because I went to the more important thing of this scene, and that's Dave. Well, yeah. Is there more? Okay.
Davis and Piper. Piper's been gone for
I got Piper, like, she literally makes a comment of like, wow, you went right back into action. She's like, I took a break. Good for you. But Davis passes out right away when he's talking to Piper.
And that you're like, well, is he going to burst open with a strike or anything?
I didn't think that, but I was like, because... They set it up. I mean, he literally makes the line of, she's like, well, you survived this one. And he's like, yeah, I just barely survived. Again, is that Iselle talking? Because she just barely survived.
It's designed like that.
Well, here's the thing. So the why I want to bring this up is because I don't know if, like, it's so obvious that, like, he's Iselle. Like, haha. Like, it's so obvious that I'm almost thinking the writers are doing another switcheroo on us.
Well, I've seen stuff, people talk about this on Facebook on a couple groups, and they are like, I'm worried about Davis after watching it. So maybe not everyone's
putting it together.
I'm worried
about Davis, too. Here's the thing. Davis is one of those, he's survived. He survived Madame Hydra, and we didn't see how he survived. We just hear the story, and actually, apparently the actor actually knows the story, and he tells it all the time on set.
Oh, yeah, you
like
told
that.
Me that.
But, like, he's survived a lot. For him to go out like this... I mean, he doesn't even get a Jocko ending where Jocko gets the hero's ending. To Davis to go out like that would be shocking. I would be thoroughly shocked if Davis is dead because of this.
Okay, well, I don't... Well,
especially since he has a kid now and all this
stuff.
We can
talk more about this after the button part because I think it all ties into that. And it ties into all that May saying she should have killed Sarge, which is a little bit of foreshadowing, but I feel it's false foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We have a moment with Deke and Fitz and Simmons, and then Fitz's reaction to Deke.
I saw
Deke,
the hickeys at this point. That was the funny scene.
Fitz's reaction to Deke is the exact same reaction he had, the other Fitz had. And I like that it's consistent. He just doesn't like Deke. or he's just, I don't know if he doesn't like him or if he's just bothered by him. He's annoyed by him.
Oh, he's an annoying character. Yeah, and this is also another reference where he makes a point to say that the multiverse is real here.
And then he's like, why does he keep calling me Bobo? And Simmons is like, that's what you wanted to be called. I love it.
So
I love
Snowflake it. Sees Sarge at this point when he's...
Yep, Snowflake can see because Sarge is getting locked up.
But at the lockup, he has to walk through the party.
Yep.
It's always, where's the Sarge? Other side of the party. Why? Is there a hallway to walk around? Like, no, go through the party. Go right through the party.
They're parading him through the party. Snowflake is very mad at him. I also want to point out Dr. Marcus wasn't at the celebration. Yes. We're going to see him. He's been gone. He's been off doing three episodes now.
He was off on vacation with Piper, and she came back early. So, of course, at this point, when I see her, I was like, well, why isn't she, like, locked up? And, of course, the phrase is, why isn't she in lockup?
Daisy.
I'm sorry, Daisy. And that was, like, it was, like, again, another great moment. The writer's like, yes, exactly. Why isn't, you know, they asked the question we're asking.
Because then Deke starts talking, and this music starts playing, and he's like, sometimes in love, and he's like, this is just you wanting to be in love with me. And she's like, no, lock her up. And it's true. She's a psychopath. Even though she's in love, she's still a psychopath. And then we get a little montage sequence here with a bunch of stuff.
Well, we get the toast from Mac.
Oh, we get a toast from Mac.
Well, I thought it was important because he's looking at these people, and he goes, at our best, we did this. And then he goes, and at our worst, after he says at our best, and he looks right at Yo-Yo, and I was like, oh, is she our worst? Is that what he's referencing? Because they cut the camera, and at our worst.
Well, because it was important, because the camera, of course, said, like, people who've been here since the beginning, and shows May, and the people who are new here, then that's when it shows.
I know, and then he goes, at our worst, and the camera cut to Yo-Yo, and I'm like, subtle.
Way to go, Yo-Yo.
Yes, we go to the montage where Daisy's unpacking.
Yep.
Everyone's relaxing.
Deke brings Snowflake a television, which I thought was nice. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know where this is going to go. I like it. I think it's fun. I think they're gonna have to wrestle with a lot of things here with her character, because she murdered those security guards in the jewelry store.
She's
a bad person. So I want to see where they go with this.
And how excited were you when you finally see Yo-Yo and Mac kind of
reconcile?
I mean, was that like, were you like, yes?
No, it's story. I mean, it makes the characters.
It's only a slightly more believable relationship to me than the May Coulson one. Yeah. It's not Fitzsimmons territory.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll add up, hopefully. These little things add up so that, you know, when they do season 9. But like, if they get to it, like, it has more
gravitas.
Weight to it. And I don't mind it. That being said, when I watched the second time, I fast forward through the scene. It's because I had things to do, and I was like, oh my God, this scene's like 3 minutes long. Let's hurry up here. All right, and then we get to our button. What was our button, Jerry?
May shoots Coulson.
Shoots Sarge.
In the chest,
and then one in the head. Okay. Although we don't see the headshot, but it's...
Okay, well, because it's part of the show, I will... If you don't want to know about the next time on S.H.I.E.L.D.
I do not.
Oh, well...
Well, why would we talk about the next time on S.H.I.E.L.D. when
it's...
No, it's not a part of the show. It's not a part of the show.
Well, let's just say that you do see the bullet shot in his head because you see his.
If they come back and they said she didn't shoot him in the head, well,
when
the three
Captain
bullets
Marvel
in,
shows up in the scene,
the three bullets in his chest would have killed him. Yeah, yes. Captain Marvel would be great.
What if there was something like that?
But
wouldn't
I did not.
Know.
I did not see the next time on, so I don't want to know about it. Okay. I'm actually enjoying not knowing the next time on. It's been a.
Whatever. Don't watch trailers anymore. Then.
Well, no, I never experienced it before, but Hulu doesn't have it, so I don't watch it.
There's just a little thing called. The internet, YouTube.
Okay. Basically, I'm gonna watch this show regardless.
I should show it to you right now.
Why do you want to? Like, it's
because it answers. Because it's the whole point.
It might answer the questions.
It's all about.
You never know.
I know. That's why we have a conversation about it.
I used to watch Mad Men the next time.
Well, that's
time
a different thing. Those things were useless. Useless. The goggles are useless. No, it goes towards the fact. I feel that the May scene, when she sets up that I should have killed Sarge, I don't believe that's... Okay. I don't believe that that is May shooting Sarge at the end.
I agree.
Parts of the coming next week kind of back that up and to the point where it's like, that makes me think that there is hope that Davis isn't dead because Izell, who made the statement earlier to Sarge saying, what skin are you wearing, means this that is... they can be a floatable... Maybe they turn into a mist thing that goes in your mouth like a shrike. Mm-hmm. Or something, and then leaves that body and goes into May. Now, let's say that the Shrike leaving the body would destroy the body. Well, since May is not probably May, that means Davis is probably okay.
Well, if Davis is dead, then Piper was taking pictures of the dead Davis, and that's really selfies of
the
dead Davis.
We have to see Davis's kid in the funeral scene at some point.
That's why I don't think Davis is dead. I definitely think Izell is in May.
And does that mean that whatever Sarge is...
Why didn't Izell go into Quake? Like, that seems like a much more apt thing.
Because we don't know how... That'd be interesting if they actually show us a sequence from back on the ship when Davis comes up there and does get possessed or not. Or just within the episode.
Then we get a little more Jocko at that point because we'll probably see him in the background.
Okay.
I'm just saying. We get more Jocko.
No, that's not a thing. Nobody cares about that. Not even Jocko's agent.
No, yeah, he does. Another episode. Cha-ching! Heck yeah. So, yeah, so we have 3 episodes left.
And then another whole season.
I'm super excited for
the next
episode.
They're building to something, yes. It's still not my favorite season, but this was good stuff. I'm just talking about
it. They need the answer. They need the answer to, you know, who Sarge is. That is the big question, the big mystery. How are they going to bring back Coulson onto the show? That's really what this comes down to.
In a lot of ways, yeah, because you know he's in the next season. You know it. You know it.
Of course. All right. So.
Now, coming up in the feed will be the next S.H.I.E.L.D. As Joel said, we're down to the last 3. And coming up real soon will also be our first half of season 3, the final season of Jessica Jones.
Final season of the Netflix shows.
Because I'm already 6 episodes in, and I'm ready to finish. So I think we'll be there at 6 or 7. So that should be coming up also relatively fast. Good stuff. Fun talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm looking forward to more S.H.I.E.L.D. real soon. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.